Previously on Coffee with Kenobi.
The first, I'd say 20 minutes or so, I thought, okay, these dice are huge. Then I kind of got my bearing, and then I got to know what the cards meant and all of the categories and sort of what I should be looking for, what I shouldn't be looking for. I finally thought, okay, not only do I like this, but this is awesome. I liked it. And then Jason was kind enough to send me a substantial amount of Jar Jar Binks cards and dice, which I thought was really, really funny. And I really liked it.
This is Vanessa Marshall, Harrison Dula from Star Wars Rebels, and you're listening to Coffee with Kenobi.
Hello and welcome to show number 118 of Coffee with Kenobi, your spoiler-free place for Star Wars discussion, analysis, and rhetoric. I'm your host, Dan Z, drinking One Nation Coffee, the official coffee of Coffee with Kenobi, out of a Galactic Nights coffee mug from Disney's Hollywood Studios. Thank you for joining me today as we sit back and have some Star Wars conversation. We hope to make you think about the mythology of Star Wars in a whole new way, and maybe laugh a little bit in the process. On today's show, we are loaded with some amazing guests, including Riley Blanton, Stephen Stanton, and Dr. Annalise Ophelion. Tom will bring us the latest Star Wars news, and we will also discuss the Solo trailer and give some first reactions as well. So pull up a chair, grab your favorite coffee mug, and let's have some coffee with Kenobi.
And now, let's see what's brewing in the Star Wars universe this week.
As I said, we are guest-heavy, so I want to get right to it, but I do want to also point out that we have recorded the brand new Coffee with Kenobi Patreon exclusive show starring myself, co-founder of Coffee with Kenobi Corey Club, and your CWK newsman, Tom Gross. It is so much fun to listen to these, and I had the good fortune of not only recording with these two awesome guys, but editing and distributing the show as well. I can't wait to hear what you think and to hear what you'd like to hear us talk about on this exclusive show. Again, this is not going to replace Coffee with Kenobi. Your weekly show will still be here, as it has been for almost 5 years. This is just something extra to reward our Patreon family for all their generosity and goodwill for our show.
So who talks first? You talk first? I talk first?
Joining us today for a cup of coffee is the founder of the Star Wars Report, Mr. Riley Blanton.
Hello. Hello. How's it going, Dan?
It's going well. I feel like I just saw you the other day.
That's probably because you just saw me the other day. Now, you think, listen, just for the occasion, in my little hotel room, I'm literally fixing a cup of coffee right now, which is saying something, because it's like 9 o'clock at night here.
Yeah, well, we both were on each other's shows last week, which is a ton of fun. And so we thought, let's just keep this train rolling because we're having a good time together. And he totally had my back in Secrets of the Empire, which you can hear about on show set 117 and on Riley's amazing stuff he's doing over on Facebook, too.
Oh, awesome. I appreciate it, man. Yeah, no, it's that was a great, that was a fun Star Warsy trip out to the West Coast, wasn't it? That was a good time.
It was great. It was great fun. You were definitely one of the highlights for me because it was fun to, the best thing about this community is the people you meet. And so I really, really had a good time with that. Speaking of good times.
I appreciate that, man. I appreciate it. And it's funny because like you and I, we have a lot of concentric circles in the Star Wars podcast world, and we're often like passing each other by at Star Wars celebration and stuff, but I really feel like this time we actually got to hang out some, which was nice.
Oh, I totally agree. Like I said on the show before, we've seen each other, met each other plenty of times, been on each other's shows, but this time we actually got to be friends and hang out, so that was definitely good, definitely awesome.
Yes,
so
Siri. Well, if only there was more Star Wars stuff happening.
I know. Wish. Yeah. Well, maybe we can dream, yeah. Right? So let's pretend like there's a new Star Wars movie coming out, which will be really easy to do because we just saw the Solo trailer. And Riley, I don't know about you, but I really tried for about 12 hours not to watch it because when I saw the trailer because when I saw the trailer for The Last Jedi and I saw the scene where they made it appear that Kylo Ren was going to blast his mother out of the sky.
Uh-huh.
I thought, gosh, this is a serious plot point. And I didn't feel like I was spoiled. But then when I saw that moment in the theater for the first time, I kind of felt like, this is so heavy. I wish I would have not known about this particular moment until now because it would be even heavier. Because The Last Jedi for me was an amazing experience. So I thought, well, for the next one, I'm going to hold off. But then the next day, my friends were like, well, you do run a Star Wars podcast. I'm like, I know. I'm aware. I was with myself the whole time I did it. So I watched it and I loved it. I was pretty pumped. You and I talked about this in Hollywood, but what did you think of the trailer?
Yeah, man. It's kind of crazy because I'm in a similar place where I've seen it twice, and I read through like one breakdown that we did on our blog, but I didn't do what I've done with every single other Star Wars trailer, which is, you know, watch it two or three times, then read several breakdowns and watch several video breakdowns on YouTube, and then watch it again, and then watch it again. And that's because I'm not really expecting any big plot spoilers, but I guess because my expectations for this film are moderate. I mean, I wouldn't say low, especially after this trailer, but because they're not as high as they were going into the other three now, the Disney era Star Wars films, I feel like I don't want to participate in the hype as much so that I can keep them there. And that way that, you know, I guess it makes room for the movie to blow me away, hopefully.
Right. No, that's true. It's sort of hard to get as up for this one because it's not that I'm not excited about it. I am, but I just saw a new Star Wars movie in the theater a couple months ago. So it's just not the same.
It's kind of weird. Like, mm-hmm. So total transparency. So I'm out here in Texas. My sister, Bethany, who if you've listened to Star Wars Report long, you know, she's finishing up her tech school at the Air Force. So I'm out here. Some family are here. I'm at a hotel room. I just literally minutes ago showed my dad this very trailer. And, you know, he likes Star Wars. He's pretty into it, but he's not, you know, keeping up with every single pulse of the fandom. But I showed him the trailer, and he was like, two things. A, he was pretty impressed with Alden Ehrenreich, which is kind of funny because that's the one thing I'm still hung up on.
But, even after this.
But B, he's like, yeah, a little bit. I'm sure we'll get to that. But the other thing was, it's like, man, but, you know, I just saw the other movie. Because it's, you know, it is turning around super fast.
Well, again, just like the Marvel stuff, I mean, the quality is typically really good unless it's an Iron Man sequel. And well, that's true. And so there's that. I mean, the space between Revenge of the Sith and The Force Awakens, obviously, was pretty decent. You know, you're talking about 2005 versus 2015. That's a significant amount of time. But really, when you think about it, it's from 1983 to 2015 because you're waiting to see what happens with Luke Skywalker and Han Solo and Princess Leia. So that's a very, very long break. And that's, I think, one of the reasons why that movie did insane gangbusters and is still the number one film, you know, as far as financially of all time in nationwide. So then now we get to a place where you have to wait 6 months between movies. That is pretty crazy. Now, I'm not necessarily complaining, but I do think there's something to be said for waiting. And I think that's that delayed gratification, I think, is very satisfying. I'm pretty glad that episode 9 is going to come out till the end of 2019 because I mean, it'd be nice to have a break and, you know, as far as, you know, just getting yourself geared up again, because especially when you not only love Star Wars and love writing about it and talking about it, but you do a podcast about it, it's definitely challenging in a way. You know what I mean?
It's almost exhausting in some ways, like in the best of ways. But like, even we have our tradition where we'll do like a 30-day countdown nightly podcast, which the first time I did it for, you know, The Force Awakens was just, you know, a blast. And it was my only way to sort of contain the hype. I had to have an outlet like every night to be talking about it. And then by the time, you know, Last Jedi came out and I'd done those shows and those several weeks of, you know, processing the movie, and I was just like, I was done. I was like, and I never thought about this, but like, I was out of discussion for The Last Jedi. And I feel like, you know, it's going to get some breathing time before we can kind of look at it with fresh eyes again. Because I don't know. I know this isn't necessarily directly tied to the Solo trailer, but I sort of, especially as long as Dan, you and I have been talking about this stuff, there's this sort of initial wave of friction as everyone decides sort of the old Roman Empire thumbs up, thumbs down of their corner fandom. Do I like this movie or not? And The Last Jedi, that was so intense that, and even with The Force Awakens, there's this sort of like instant flash narrative that pops up, and there's sort of battle lines that are drawn on social media and in the various online communities where everyone sort of has their hot take and everyone sort of groups up into the various tribes of thought. And I feel like We need some breathing room to look back on the film after we've seen it a few times, and not just the initial thing. And that's the one weird factor of having the films come out so quickly, because I think by the time, you know, episode 9 comes out and we go back and watch The Force Awakens, free from the sort of instant reactions and hot takes, and we'll have had the benefit of having also seen, you know, Last Jedi, it'll be very different than right when we first see it. So, like, now we're in the midst of the train, and in the case of the trailer, the actual train that's heading down the tracks to the release of the new Star Wars movie. And I'm excited, but like I said, little trepidatious on Alden. But, I mean, this trailer certainly has... I was more impressed with him in this trailer than any of the previous stuff we've seen, though.
Yeah, so, okay, let's talk about Alden. You and I talked about this in Hollywood, of course, and we're talking about it now. After watching this, because I've only seen it once, I was tempted to watch it repeated times, but I thought, no, you know what? If I want to kind of maintain some sort of a sense of awe and wonder for certain images and moments, I probably just need to stick to one. So that's just for me. You know, there's no right way to do it. It's just the way that is best for you. But when I watched him in this new trailer, I was pretty excited about it. I mean, the comedic timing, the mannerisms, the way he carried himself, the way he looked at the Falcon, I just thought, okay, that is Han Solo. And that's when I had to remind myself, and it was much easier to do after seeing this, that he's not playing Harrison Ford. He's playing Han Solo.
That's true.
He sure as heck seems to be channeling it beautifully from what I've seen here.
And he's playing, not only is he playing Han Solo, he's playing a much younger and frankly less confident Han Solo. Like,
that's right.
The vibe you get from him in the scene where he's first kind of walking up to meet Lando, and he's like, so I've heard the story about you. And, you know, Lando's the penultimate suave gangster surrounded by his henchmen and at the gambling table and with the robot, martini dispenser or whatever that thing is. And, you know, he's just suave, confident. And Han Solo's just sort of creeping up to the table like an outsider. He's obviously out of his place. And even like with Tobias Beckett, I'm getting better with the name. There's always that learning phase.
Yes.
But like Woody Harrelson's character, Beckett, when he's like, hey, if you start out with this, you know, life, you're never going to be able to go back.
Right. It's got that. You're right. I mean, it's kind of interesting, sort of meta, really, when you think about the fact that as a Phantom, there's a little bit of trepidation, not quite as secure in what's going on, which is exactly kind of the vibe that Solo is going to most likely give us, because he's very much a burgeoning hero. He sort of sets the stage for what it means to be. He's not an anti-hero, but he is definitely a reluctant hero, and it takes him a long time to kind of find his stride. And I was excited not only with that, but seeing Chewbacca in action, I mean, really seeing him in action, that was pretty thrilling. I wasn't expecting
that. There's the point where he picks up the soldier. Was it a stormtrooper? See, and again, I haven't seen that many times. I think it's like a stormtrooper, maybe one of the some other soldier mercenary. But Chewbacca, like, he picks him up towards the end of the trailer and throws him down, like, on his head.
Yes.
So you can feel the neck crack.
That's he's going to feel that in the morning if he feels anything. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, let me ask you this. I'm curious because, like, I don't the humor, right? That seems to be really what we're narrowing down on here. We had the lines of, like, you know, what do you think? And Chewie's like, no, don't do it. He's like, yeah, what do you know? We get lines like that. The, like, oh, you're 190. You look great. So we're seeing, I guess, the humor. And I don't know if that's a remnant of the Lego Movie guys. I'm blanking on their names off the top of my head.
Oh yeah, Chris Miller and and the guy who's not Chris Miller. I can't remember.
Phil Miller. Phil Lord.
Yes,
Chris
there you
Miller,
go.
Phil Lord.
There
Chris go. We got there. We had to dig around for a minute. But like, I think I get a little bit of that sense where, but the whole trailer wasn't like a series of fart joke, you know, like it wasn't the whole thing wasn't
Thank
just
goodness.
Comedy, which I liked. And I really, I don't know. I get the sense that my favorite part of this movie is going to be Woody Harrelson and Tobias Beckett, certainly amongst the new characters. I don't know. Which of the new characters jump out to you?
That's a good question. Now, let's go ahead and take a break. When we come back, I will address just that.
Ooh, this. That's a tease.
That's a tease. That's right. Well, this is Coffee with Kenobi. We are back, and Riley had an interesting question earlier in the show where he asked me basically, well, first of all, you said you were most excited. You thought you were going to get the most out of Tobias Beckett and the Woody Harrelson character, correct?
Yeah. Yeah. No, definitely.
So to me, I think it's going to be the chemistry between Han and Chewie and between Han and Lando, and just sort of seeing, I'm very much, to me, becoming is way more interesting than being. So the fact that I'm going to get to see these friendships evolve and grow and kind of witness the initial tension and sort of where they are with one another, that's the thing that's going to keep me coming back to this movie the most frequently, I think.
Yeah. Well, and it's sort of, Han's cynicism is going to come from somewhere. And I think it's going to come from, you know, that growth. Cause right now we kind of see a really kind of wide-eyed, naive Han Solo who's trying to join this criminal world, but hasn't been a part of it yet. So the Han Solo we're going to see later in A New Hope is very jaded. You know, no magical force field, you know, controls my destiny, you know, to get there. He's got to, I think betrayal's got to be a big part of the movie. And, you know, they're not shy about hinting it with Beckett's line where he's like, just assume everyone's going to betray you and you won't be disappointed. And I think that's definitely a foreshadow. I don't know who it's going to be, although I think, I don't know, maybe if it were me writing a Star Wars movie, or if I were to just guess, the most sort of heartbreaking betrayal would be Kira. Because
well, sure.
We know that they're together at a younger age and, you know, they're being reunited in the trailer. It's like, oh, you look good. Rough around the edges, but you look good. And I could totally see that sort of being something that, you know, really makes Han the sort of jaded smuggler that
right.
we find a few years later.
Hard to say, isn't it? Because you know they're just not going to telegraph it. Right, they're going to make you think, and they're going to do some sort of trickery, and it's going to—I don't know.
We'll
I want
a little marker here, and then we'll come back like May 26th and come back to this episode. What is the 118? Right.
That's
or
right.
Coffee with Kenobi, something. So we'll come back to this episode. And we'll see. We'll see if Riley's guess/slash prediction came to fruition.
we'll be keeping score for sure. What do you think about the music?
Oh, that's a good point. I loved it. Like. They went full on spaghetti western, the
yes.
barrel,
yeah,
with
sure.
the guitar, and it was a really clever the way they morphed it into the spaghetti western Star Wars action music sequence.
Yes,
I really liked that.
They're definitely firing on all cylinders. I've never been someone who's been concerned with all this stuff about oh my gosh they're reshooting and they're doing this and they pulled in new directors and oh my gosh there's this and that. I've never worried about that because that's how films work. There's a lot of cooks in the kitchen
yeah.
to make. The gourmet meal. And I don't know. I mean, Ron Howard is a pro. He's been doing this for a very long time. He knows exactly
well,
how to make a good quality film. So, I mean, and we're seeing
exactly.
this. He's not going to have his first stab at Star Wars be anything more than his best work.
Well, and I think that's the important thing to recognize when we talk about this behind the scenes stuff, because Ron Howard is really capable, but this is germane because of the Tony Gilroy interview that came out. I want to say last week or the week before where he was, talking for the first time more publicly about the process of reshoots with Rogue One. And, you know, I'm paraphrasing slightly because I don't have the quotes in front of me, but basically he was talking about all the reshooting that he did for the movie. And when he came in and he was like, yeah, it was a mess. And, you know, we just realized I think one of my favorite quotes is I need to make each scene in the movie about the movie. And the movie is about sacrifice. And I just realized, oh, the characters have to die. And the scenes have to kind of lead in that momentum. And so that tells a couple things. A, what's funny is, you know, your source for how much Tony Gilroy had to save the movie is Tony Gilroy. So I don't know that that's your best, most, you know, non-biased assessment for everyone who kind of took that story and ran with it. But B, I think it's important for us to recognize, as people who follow the behind the scenes so much, we don't have to defend and say, oh, it's commonplace at reshoots for every movie. Rogue One's just like all other Hollywood movies. Everyone does reshoots. Stop freaking out about it. Because We can, to be fair, I think that there is a lot of drama and changes in the story trips and creative minds clashing over the best way to tell the story. And that is part of the process.
Right.
So it's just because there are clashes and conflict behind the scenes and directors being fired and then new ones being brought on and, you know, composers changing and producers changing, that doesn't point to the good or bad film. That's what's going to lead to a good or bad film. So it's not going to predict it, because there are great films that have come out that had terrible production. And, you know, the original Star Wars is the best version of that. Or look at, like, one of my favorite films of all time, Gladiator, which was just a nightmare behind the scenes. They didn't even have a finished script while they were shooting. Like, Ridley Scott basically made up the story as he went, almost, and went way over budget. And then suddenly, you know, it's one of the greatest war movies, you know, stories of ancient Rome ever. So I don't know. Sometimes I think that we get a little bit too possessive about reacting to people or reacting to people who are reacting to people. You know what I mean? That it just sort of becomes like team Rogue One's fine. Don't worry about it. Or team Rogue One's screwed. And it's easy to do that with Han Solo as well.
Sure. I mean, there's a lot of anxiety. I mean, we care about this a lot. And so, but the thing about anxiety is when you try to control things, you can't. And we can't control this. We can enjoy it and we can discuss it, or we can dislike it and we can discuss it. Riley, so good to chat with you, of course, as always. Where can people reach out to you and find you, as well as the amazing Star Wars Report?
Yeah, appreciate it, man, as always. Glad to come on the show and appreciate you having me on. You know what? I'll just do two quick plugs. One is the Star Wars Report podcast. You can find it on any place you find podcasts. Just search for the Star Wars Report. And we're talking about this stuff pretty much every week, just like you guys are. And I want you guys to keep up the awesome work, too. So that's number one. And then number two, if you're listening to this and you're interested, keep tabs on Facebook.com/Star Wars Report. And, of course, YouTube.com/Star Wars Report. Those are the two places where I tend to – I'm kind of – this is newer stuff, but sometimes we'll do these fun little travel videos when we're doing something Star Wars-y, which is exactly what you and I just did, Dan. So – coming up the next probably 2-3 days, so about the time you're hearing this podcast, I'm guessing, I'm going to be putting up the travel vlog chronicling Dan and my trip to Los Angeles and the Denny's event and going to Secrets of the Empire. It was a great time. So you can watch that video and journey to the West Coast with us.
I love it. A gentleman and a scholar and a PR guy all in one person. We'll definitely have links to that in the show, though, for sure.
All right. Appreciate it, man.
This is Coffee with Kenobi.
Coffee with Kenobi is sponsored by the Star Wars digital card trader collecting app from Topps. If you love Star Wars and love the excitement of chasing your favorite Star Wars collectibles, the Star Wars Digital Card Trader Collecting App from Topps is for you. Download the free app from iTunes or Google Play and collect your favorite images from the classic 1977 Star Wars cards to the Clone Wars, Star Wars Rebels, The Force Awakens, Rogue One, The Last Jedi, and much more. Collect and trade with friends new and old through the Star Wars Digital Card Trader Collecting App from Topps. These are the cards you're looking for. Today's show is brought to you by One Nation Coffee, the official brew of Coffee with Kenobi. Four lifelong friends had this idea that grew into some of the best coffee you will ever have. It smells amazing and tastes even better. Check out www.onenationcoffee.com to get your morning started off the right way and to learn more about them and how they seek to support traditional American values upheld by the members of the active duty military, veterans, and first responders. In fact, they are owned by veterans and members of law enforcement. All orders are roasted in small batches so the customer receives the coffee at its peak freshness, and they blend some of their coffee like JB's Buckshot and Moab with a bean to add an extra caffeine kick. This makes up for the loss of caffeine in darker roasts. They definitely value their connections with customers, and it shows in every interaction I've ever had with them. So be sure to go to www.onenationcoffee.com to get your morning started off the right way. Another thing I really love is shaving with Harry's razors. The thing for me about Harry's razors is that it's so inconvenient to find a reasonably priced razor that doesn't cost an arm and a leg. And Harry's has that. Plus, they ship it to me whenever I want, and then I never have to worry about running out or missing the shave that I need to have. And it's great, too, because they stand by the quality of their blades, but you also know that switching razors isn't an easy decision. So what they do is they create a trial offer for you, and you can claim yours by going to harrys.com/CWKfamily. Harry's founders were fed up with overpaying for expensive razors with unnecessary features because they know what great shave comes down to great blades. I mean, with sharp, durable steel that lasts, which is why they bought a factory that's been making some of the highest quality blades in the world for over 95 years. So by selling directly to you over the internet, Harry's can offer their blades at a price much lower than the leading brand, just $2 per blade compared to $4 or more. So it's a quality guarantee, too. If you don't love your shave, let Harry's know within 30 days, and they'll give you a full refund. Now, I'll be surprised if that happens, but knowing that it's there just shows you how much belief and faith they have in their product. Get a $13 value trial set that comes with everything you need for a close, comfortable shave. A weighted ergonomic handle, 5-blade razor with a lubricating strip and trimmer blade, rich lathering shave gel, which smells fantastic, and you get a travel blade cover, which I just used when I went on my trip to Hollywood. So listeners of this show can redeem their trial set at harrys.com/CWKfamily. Make sure you go to harrys.com/CWKfamily to redeem your offer and let them know I sent you to help support this show. I had mentioned earlier the exclusive Patreon show, but before we talk about that a little bit more, I want to thank our Patreon contributors like Ben Elkington, Terry Lee, Dennis Keithley, Yancey Evans, Aaron Harris, Angela Souse, Mediocre Jedi, Texas Diner, Daz Davies, Tyler Wiggins, Christian Dale, Jason Hall, Brian McKinney, Connie Shee, Mike Audette, Jared Cantor, BJ Smith, Eric Struthers, Nick Dico, and Mark Suter. Patreon is a way for us to communicate with fans in a whole new way and to find a way to make our show even more expansive. And we've been very fortunate because of your generosity. And we're able to offer a lot of incentives like coffee mugs and t-shirts. There are even examples of phone cases or you getting a chance to host with me for 4 times in 1 month because we are on a weekly show. So that works out well. And you also have access to our Lens, which is a way for me to communicate with you directly through video or pictures, as well as different posts that I am able to share with each of you. And we certainly have been using that a lot for the solo trailer and helping me decide if I was going to watch it or not, as we talked about earlier. And it's also fun because of the exclusive show that we talked about at the top of the show. And as we go on and record these, I'm going to try to give some samples here so you can sort of hear what's out there if you're interested. And if you want to be a part of that exclusive show and be able to hear those, it's just going to be being a $5 contributor and you'll get the 4 shows because we're going to do that show weekly as well. So just for $5 a month as a Patreon contributor, you'll get an additional Coffee with Kenobi podcast starring myself, Coffee with Kenobi co-founder, and my good friend Corey Club, and of course, our favorite CWK newsman and all-around awesome guy, Tom Gross. So be sure to check out the link in our show notes or at the top of our webpage if you are interested in becoming a CWK Patreon contributor. Thank you so much. We are back, and we have Stephen Stanton here with us. Welcome back to the show, Stephen.
Hey, Dan. It's good to be back. It's nice talking to you.
Yes, you as well, sir.
I've been busy watching the new Solo trailer. How about you?
Yeah, well, that's exactly right. What did you think about that?
I thought it was great. Any kind of Star Wars for me is good Star Wars. I mean, when you get to see all those, the best part about it is not knowing what's going to happen or who some of these characters are and how it all fits together. There's so many mysteries in there.
And the first female robot.
Yeah, Dutch is over here saying that it's we got the first female droid in, not the first, but the first of one of the Star Wars movies that's like a main character.
Yes. I agree. That's a pretty cool thing. There's a lot of cool stuff here. I was sort of put off watching it for a while because I thought, I'm going to try to watch this thing for the first time in a theater and not watch the trailer. And then I thought, well, I run a Star Wars podcast. I probably can't do that. So I did watch it, and I absolutely loved it. And one thing that I think was really reassuring to me, and we talked about this a little bit already on the show, but Alden Ehrenreich, I was always excited about him because he's a talent. He's a good actor. You know, when people were upset about the Joker being recast in The Dark Knight, well, you just got to think about who's the guy playing him. You know, Heath Ledger is a great actor, and he delivered an amazing performance. Alden Ehrenreich is a great actor, and just what I saw here, he looks like he's going to be more than awesome in this.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's I've kind of been talking about this, you know, I was talking about this yesterday. Iconic characters outlive the original people that portray them. Whether, you know, I grew up with Cesar Romero as the Joker on the 1966 Batman. You know?
Sure.
And Frank Gorshin is the Riddler. You know, Sean Connery was the first James Bond that I saw. You know, people, characters like Sherlock Holmes and, you know, Han Solo and these things, they live far beyond the original actors that portray them, because they're archetypal, like I said, and they're iconic. So we all have to just get used to the fact that there are going to be more than one. If the character survives and thrives, and people still want to see them, that people are still going to, you know, that other actors are going to portray them over the years, you know, and you know, at different ages and things.
Well, you know, you mentioned some iconic characters. You know, Superman, of course, Batman fall into that mold. Yeah, the one I think, if any criticism is fair, as long as it's, you know, involves an intellectual honesty. But when people are upset that he doesn't look like Harrison Ford, well, that's something that I think is a little bit more challenging to undertake. I mean, he's not portraying Harrison Ford; he's portraying Han Solo.
That's right. Just like, you know, like Daniel Craig is playing James Bond and he looks nothing like Sean Connery. You know, to me, he looks more like Steve McQueen. You know, that's if you're going to draw a correlation there, or, you know, there. So, yeah, you have to kind of let go of those things. You know, for a lot of people, and this, you know, I've seen this. I have had the good fortune of being in Star Wars long enough now, starting with the Clone Wars, to see it happen time and time again, is that there's going to be people this is going to be the first Star Wars movie that they have ever seen. Some of them will be adults. Some of them will be younger kids. And, you know, for them, it's not, the Harrison Ford connection isn't even going to be there, because they have not even, because believe it or not, there are people that have not seen Star Wars.
That's right.
Have not seen all the films. I talk to them all the time. I mean, this is not an uncommon phenomenon. You know, there's just some people that are, you know, science fiction isn't their bag or whatever it is. You know, they just never came, you know, didn't seem to be something they would be interested in. And maybe someone will take them to go see Solo. They'll go on a date to go see it, or a family member or a friend will take it. And then all of a sudden they'll be hooked. And all of a sudden, all of them will be there, Han Solo. This, and I guarantee you, this is going to happen, especially with a younger generation. He will be their Han Solo.
Oh, absolutely! Every year when I show Star Wars to my students, I would say, well, it used to be a lot less, but there's still about a half to a third of my students who have never seen the original Star Wars. So for them, like you said, this is going to be their Han Solo. I showed this trailer to my 4-year-old, and he didn't say to me, "Hey, where's Harrison Ford? Isn't he Indiana Jones?" He looked at me and he said, "Daddy, that's Han Solo." And exactly, that's it. And, you know, I think, you know, you're an actor, right? You understand what goes into portraying these iconic characters. So you have to kind of create an aura or an atmosphere that's reminiscent of the character. What is your kind of mindset as an actor going into something like that?
Well, it depends. I mean, you know, I've had that experience when I'm going first with Star Wars, playing either old Ben Kenobi or even better, the younger Tarkin. So now we're taking, okay, here's a role that Peter Cushing established and created for the 1977 Star Wars. And then all of a sudden in the Clone Wars, we said, let's go back before he was a Grand Moff, before he's a Moff, before he's an Admiral, all the way back to when he was a captain. What was he like back then? You know, so I have to get in there and start, you know, getting my mind wrapped around Peter Cushing as an actor and saying, like, okay, what kind of choices might he have made, knowing the kinds of things that he's done, you know, inside and outside of Star Wars? How would he have portrayed this character? And that's usually the, you know, the jumping off point. In that particular instance, I went all the way back to his portrayal of Sherlock Holmes, because I thought, you know, Tarkin isn't the villain in the Clone Wars. He is just kind of a very pontificating, sort of opinionated, sort of rubs you the wrong way, you know, member of the Grand Army of the Republic. And the Jedi are working with him. So I said, well, you know, when I look back at Peter Cushing's work as a younger man, I thought Sherlock Holmes fits the bill, because Sherlock Holmes rubs everybody the wrong way. Because as far as Holmes is concerned, he's smarter than everybody, and they're all just trying to play catch up with him. And I thought, you know what? That's a good starting point for Tarkin, and then we'll build on that. And then, of course, by the end of the Clone Wars, when it was the trial of Ahsoka Tano, then we were starting to get into, all right, this is starting to be the villainous version. And then when we went into Star Wars Rebels, we were portraying the character that, you know, that what we were trying to bring to the audience was the character that they all knew from the 1977 Star Wars. So, you know, that was kind of a character arc that I had to work with Dave Filoni and, you know, kind of figure out where would this, you know, young character be. So it's, this is not new for Star Wars. I mean, Ewan McGregor had to do it with the prequels, portraying Alec Guinness's character. And I thought he did a magnificent job, you know, trying to get into Alec Guinness's head and the way he sounded and create, let's create the younger sort of, not quite there yet, you know, still has lessons to learn, Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Yes, that you bring up a lot of important things. I like hearing the psychology too, sort of walking in the footsteps of these characters and trying to figure out what makes them tick. Let's go ahead and switch gears a little bit. You are doing something really, really important, and this is involving, of course, the Starlight Children's Foundation. And there is going to be a private signing with you that's going to benefit the Starlight Children's Foundation. Go ahead and talk to us about that and kind of how it came to fruition.
That's right. Well, I've been working, you know, raising funds for Starlight for quite a few years now. Back when, you know, we were trying to get Star Wars fans, to recognize the name and to be aware of what Starlight Children's Foundation was all about. And part of, you know, their mission, their big mission is they try to make stays in hospitals for kids. Especially if they're going to be in there a long time, and many times it's with terminally ill children that are never going to leave the hospital. That's going to be their last place. You know, that's their home for right now. They try to make those stays in the hospital enjoyable, a little less, you know, all about the, you know, whatever is being, you know, they're having to go through, you know, medicinally wise, and, you know, if that's a word, I suppose. But, you know, they come up with things like the VR project that they're doing right now, and they have the fun centers, and they have all these distraction things that help kids take their mind off why they're in the hospital. And they found out that this really works. I mean, this really helps kids get through the hard times in the hospital. The Brave Gowns is one of the big things they came up with over the last year. At Celebration, you probably saw those revealed, because they finally came out with the hospital gowns that were made out of a different material than what you usually get when you're in the hospital, which is kind of a scratchy, just sort of a dull, you know, sort of a cotton, I don't even know what you would call it. It's just like, you know, it's like a robe. And the Starlight one is made out of a soft material. It ties on the side, not on the back. So we have complete control about, you know, closing it and opening it. It has, access points in the sleeves, snaps that allow nurses to be able to administer IVs and medication that way. And they came out with a whole Star Wars version of the Brave Gowns, you know, with a lot of your favorite characters, whether it's Chewie or Darth Vader, R2, Princess Leia, you name it, they came up with it. So we're trying to raise some money with a private signing that we're working with Official Picks. It's been around, they've been around for a long time doing official autographs for celebrities in films, and particularly Star Wars. And we're using the money to my proceeds from it will go to Starlight to help fund some of the fun centers and Brave Gowns and Grant Wish programs that they have in Starlight UK, things like that.
It's so incredibly important. And this is the orders for this are going on through Monday, April 23rd. We do have a link to it on our webpage, and we'll put it in the show notes as well. Can you kind of talk to us a little bit? I know your coffee's running short, but you kind of talk to us about some of the experiences you've had working with these amazing children.
Yeah, well, you know, one of the great things about Starlight is that, I'll tell you, they are everywhere. And, you know, like I said, they're big, they're all over the United States. They're in Canada. They're in England. They're in Australia. We had the really great privilege of working with Starlight UK with their Grant-A-Wish program, which is very much like, you know, like Make-A-Wish over here. You know, it allows kids that have a terminally ill disease, and they, you know, what is the wish, the one thing that they would like to experience? And we brought over a young man and his friend to over here to the United States because his dream was to go to San Diego Comic-Con. And we met up with him here in Los Angeles and got on the grand tour of the city here, too, as well. And like I said, these, you know, they're just really doing wonderful things that just make things easier for kids. That, look, I've been in the I was in the hospital twice when I was younger, when I was five and when I was seven. I had surgeries and things like that. And let me tell you, it's not a fun thing to go to because, you know, you're a kid. Not everybody's telling you everything. You know, you're getting, you know, whatever they think you can handle. And it's scary. It's really scary. So the one of the best things you can do is to kind of like alleviate that anxiety. And they do it with the fun centers, for instance, which are quite expensive. But the Nintendo came in and partnered with Starlight to build these things. They're hospital grade electronics. They come in, they've got all your favorite video games on there from the Wii and Nintendo, and they've got Netflix and Hulu on there. And they found that if you can distract kids, if you can keep them focused on other things besides the fear or the pain or whatever it is they're going through, everything goes a lot smoother. There's a lot of psychology involved in what they're doing. And the great thing about it is it doesn't matter what you're in the hospital for. Starlight is there for you. They are going to be there.
That's true. That's so true. And I looked on the link and you've got, and it's not like you're just getting just a Steven Stan autograph, which would be amazing in itself, of course, and you're helping children, but you also get to select from the pantheon of all the amazing characters that you've portrayed over the years too.
Well, that's true. I've got a lot of pictures from the characters that I've done over the years starting from the Clone Wars, which includes, you know, characters like Meeber Gascon and the young Tarkin, like we were talking about, and Moralo Weevil. And, you know, some of these have never been for sale before. And then, you know, we've got images from Star Wars Rebels, which includes, you know, AP-5.
That's right.
And, well, of course, we do have Admiral Raddus from Rogue One. And then we do have a limited number of the Hasbro Admiral Raddus figures that are available for purchase. And then I will be signing those. And then, of course, to top it all off, Official Picks is very great about handling send-ins, so people can send in their items, and I'll be signing those. And like you were saying earlier, the deadline is April 23rd, and then the deadline for the send-ins is April 26th. So there's not a lot of time left, but that's one of the reasons why I'm so happy to be talking to folks like you to help us get the word out, because we really want to try to raise as much money as we can for Starlight. And this is... this is one of the best ways we can think of to do it.
It certainly is. And I want to thank you, of course, just for being such a good example for my children and for listeners of this show, and just showing that, you know, children come first, and you got to do things like that. If you're in a position to make the world a better place, you should do it. And you are certainly doing that, my friend. So thank you so much.
Well, thank you for that. All of us, you know, we all do our small part, like you said, to make the world a better place than when we came into it. So, and I, like I said, we really want to thank you, everybody at Coffee with Kenobi, because you guys have really been very supportive of this endeavor, and we can't thank you enough for helping us get the word out.
Oh, absolutely. Our pleasure. Steven, where can people find you if they want to chat with you on Twitter?
I am on Twitter at Steven_Stanton. I'm looking across the room to make sure everyone's nodding and saying I've gotten my name right on Twitter. Steven with a PH. That's the best place if you want to like start a conversation or find out what's going on. And I'm pretty active on Twitter. It's a great medium to talk to people, talk Star Wars or whatever it is that we're excited about.
Absolutely. So again, we'll have this on the show notes as well as a place to go ahead and click your order. Steven, thank you so much again. We're going to go ahead and take a break. And when we come back, Tom's going to bring us the latest Star Wars news. This is Coffee with Kenobi.
This is Vanessa Marshall, and you're listening to Coffee with Kenobi.
Let me give you a task. Pick out a wine that you're going to love, but there is a catch. It has to be one you haven't had before. Now, where would you start? Introducing Wink, spelled W-I-N-C. Wink's name actually comes from the combination of wine plus incorporated, so you have wine plus ink equals Wink. Wink makes it easy to discover a great wine because Wink's wine experts select wines matched to your tastes, personalized for you, and shipped right to your door, starting at just $13 a bottle. Wink makes exploring new wines fun and easy with delicious wine based on your taste, delivered right to your doorstep every single month. There's really nothing like that first time you come home to a box of four bottles of wine selected just for you. All you have to do is you fill out Wink's palate profile quiz. You'll answer simple questions like, how do you take your coffee? How do you feel about blueberries? Things like that. And then Wink will send wines curated to your tastes. The more wines you rate, the more personalized your monthly selections. And each month there are new delicious wines like the insanely popular Summer Water Rosé. There are no membership fees. You can skip any month and you can cancel any time. Plus, shipping is covered. And if you don't like a bottle they send you, they will replace it with a bottle you love, no questions asked. With online ordering, quick shipping, and personalized recommendations, Wink makes discovering wine really, really easy, and you're going to love it. You're also going to love the Wink Journal, which is included with every wine each month. It gives you recipes to pair with your wines, info about the selections curated for you, and it has a great design, making it perfect for the coffee table. It's really, really easy to go to a store and settle for the same old bottle of wine that you like, and it leaves you kind of eh, but it's so much easier to let Wink ship wine right to your door that is perfectly matched for you. So sit back and relax or celebrate with your glass. You have finally discovered the best way to find new wines that you'll love with Wink. Discover great wine today. Go to trywink.com/CWKfamily and you'll get $20 off your first shipment. That's trywink.com/CWKfamily, all one word, for $20 off. trywink.com/CWKfamily.
The Star Wars Digital Card Trader collecting app features incredible images from many aspects of the saga, including the original trilogy, the prequels, The Clone Wars, Rebels, The Force Awakens, and Rogue One. It's the quality you have come to expect from Topps. It's also easy to get into and really fun, too. Your favorite Star Wars characters, scenes, and moments are in every pack. To get started, download the app for free from iTunes or Google Play, and then be sure to open the app each day for free credits to spend on card packs from the Cantina. Plus, if you can't get what you're looking for, there's a place to trade with your friends as you complete your Star Wars collection. And if you're an experienced collector, there are exclusive cards, special inserts, and autograph opportunities for you to enjoy. Don't worry about missing the cards and sets you want either, as you can sign up for notifications right on the app. The Star Wars Digital Card Trader collecting app from Topps can be downloaded for free from iTunes or Google Play. Be sure to download the app and start your collection today. The Star Wars Digital Card Trader collecting app from Topps is available now. And remember, these are the cards you're looking for.
We're back and it is time for some news, and we are very solo heavy, which is exciting. And considering that we are, what, Tom, how many days until Solo comes out? It comes out the 25th. Oh. I'm not a math teacher, but today's the 11th.
Yeah, I don't know. That's too long, if you ask me. But it's a little over a month.
Yeah, there you go. So what are we? Well, let's talk some Solo.
Let's. With the release of Solo, A Star Wars Story, toys this week, the news is going to focus on, well, toys and books. Let's start with some good, fun Nerf action. Nerf will be offering a horizontally double-barreled hand blaster modeled after the one Kira carries in the film. This blaster can send a Nerf dart up to 75 feet. Also, Nerf comes with Chewbacca's.
Yeah. 75 feet?
I know. That's what the promo says.
That's awesome.
I'm just trying to envision. I can shoot that across the street. Like, it's almost my house to someone else's house.
To mine. Yeah.
And along with that, Nerf comes with Chewbacca's rifle blaster that features a vertical double barrel with removable scope and stock with dart storage. Both Nerf guns have glow strike technology with light up effects and glow in the dark darts. Let's also put this story in this toy category, a couple of games. One's an old favorite and one certain to be a new hit. First is the Star Wars Monopoly Han Solo Edition, which brings a Han Solo themed board that takes the game player through important moments in Han Solo's life. One feature replaces the popular chance and community chest cards with smuggler and scoundrel cards. The second game is one I can't wait to get my well-documented and mentioned in certain server face and grubby hands on, and that is the Star Wars Han Solo card game. This game comes with 62 Han Solo cards, 24 cardboard bounty token tokens and two dice. The goal is to take risks, drawing cards to come closest to zero to earn bounty tokens. Now, if you take too many risks, you lose it all, or you just may win the Millennium Falcon token.
Oh, well, you had me until you said token. That you kind of made it not exciting. Well, I thought I was getting the real Falcon. So when I saw this, I mean, of course, because Hasbro's kind enough to send us a press release, and they're the ones who are making this card game, which they don't have the name Sabacc on it unless it's an Orabesh. And I don't have my Orabesh decoder with me. But actually, that's something I really want to do is learn Orabesh. I really think.
Really? You know,
yeah, wouldn't that be cool?
Huh, that would be neat to speak a or to read a Star Wars language.
That would be so cool. So the thing with this is that it's pretty much the game we've been waiting for, what, our whole lives?
Right? Yes, indeed.
I mean, it's going to be fantastic. And now I do have an Orabesh, not Orabesh, I do have a Sabacc deck already. I got one at Celebration Anaheim. It was a Stars.com exclusive, so I was lucky enough to snag one of those from Lucasfilm. But it doesn't come with dice, and it's not, I mean, it has rules and stuff, but now that it's going to be mass distributed, like, we can legitimately play this and, you know, do a Facebook Live thing on it, or just, you know, just play Sabacc. I mean,
you hadn't said anything about my mention of my very famous poker face, which is often mentioned in our Dungeons and Dragons games.
I was trying to be nice, you know, I was being kind. Because you do not have a poker face at all, which is fine. It's kind of great. I always know when something bad's going to happen.
I know, right? Well, I just can't hold the excitement in. You know, that's the way it goes. But something that I was thinking about with this game is, you know, my game club that I've got at school that I talk about from time to time. You know, one of our rules is that we can't we can't play poker or gamble
or talk about Fight Club.
That either. But so I'm wondering, is the Han Solo game going to be something that we can play in our game club?
I mean, I don't see why not, but that is actually interesting. I wonder how much, you know, quote, betting will be a part of this. I don't know. It's going to be what a cool thing. We're really, really close to having this game in our hands for the first time. And I've always, not always, but since I knew that Solo was coming out, and of course the merchandise, I thought, surely we're going to finally get a Sabacc deck. So looks like that's going to happen. What else we got going on?
Here it comes. Our second story brings a host of new action figures, Mighty Mugs, and Funko Pops. Let's start with the stunning new 6-inch Chewbacca Black Series figure with detail in his fur, ammo belts, his non-crossbow rifle blaster, and goggles. If the detail in each figure is as sharp as the promo image, this may be the most detailed figure yet. Then there's the release of the 3.75-inch figures, which I know, Dan, you always look forward to.
Oh, yeah.
They'll have a release of some new from The Last Jedi, Rogue One, and of course Solo. So be looking for Chewbacca, Luke Skywalker, Kira, K2SO, Maz Kanata, Range Trooper, Stormtrooper, and there'll be many more. Now, I would definitely be remiss if I didn't mention the release of new figures from our newest favorites around this house, and that would be the Mighty Mugs. These are the stubby little guys where you push down their heads and they change facial expressions. Well, the new release includes Han and Lando, Kira, and a Stormtrooper. Finally, can I just say Funko Pops, new tees, Blind Bag Mystery Plush. Now, these are the ones that are the little guys that are, and they clip, they have the book bag clips. They look pretty cool. And Mystery Minis, which are the tiny versions of the Pops. And finally, the Pops that include, get a load of this list, Val, Tobias Beckett, Rio Durant, Kira, Range Troopers, Mud Troopers, Han, Lando, whoops, Han, Lando, or Lando, Chewbacca, and many more. Now, if you want to see all of these, check out the Coffee with Kenobi page, of course. Lisa's got them all up there, and they look fantastic. And then, of course, as always, many exclusives will be found at Target, Hot Topic, Walgreens, Box Lunch, Walmart, and many more locations.
And on our webpage, thank you for plugging that, Tom, we have the Funko post does have the pictures of the exclusives and where you can find them. I know you're a big Funko guy. I really like Funko too. I sort of slowed down a bit on them because I've run out of room in my office, and I've actually been thinking about different shelving opportunities to maybe put them up somewhere. Because I just can't take down my Disney Infinity figures or those Hot Wheels vehicles. But I don't know. I definitely want to get Han. I'm all about Han and Lando. I think everybody's going to be all about them. And probably they will not be short packs. So it'll be easier to find. I don't know. I mean, there are just so many things to pour into. And I think we'll save some of this for our Wookiee weekend show, which we're going to record very, very soon. But man, I mean, yeah, I'm sure. So if you had to choose between Funko or Mighty Mugs, what would you do?
Oh man, that's a tough one. I think because the family just in general has really had fun with the Mighty Mugs, I have no doubt we'll probably be finding some of those in our house, but I can't pass up some of these Funkos either. There are some pretty cool ones out there. I think the book bag ones will be popular in our house as well. Finally, sometimes we just need a break from playing all the time. So how about a question? What do Sana Staros, Han Solo, Chewbacca, and Maz's castle in Takodana have in common? They are all in the excerpt from The Last Shot, a Han and Lando novel released on StarWars.com late last week. Han and Sana, who those of you familiar with Marvel's Star Wars comics will be familiar with, are making a quick escape from some bounty hunters, Trandoshan bounty hunters to be exact, on Takodana. I'm really struggling with the words here. It is a thrilling escape with an unhappy Chewbacca waiting in the Falcon, and Sana has some explaining to do. This novel, noted by noted author Daniel Jose Older, will hit the shelves on April 17th, a little more than a month prior to the release of Solo, a Star Wars Story.
And we'll have like about a month to kind of dive into that book. And maybe I'll do something similar to what I did for Phasma and Leia Princess of Alderaan, where I'd read sections of it at a time.
That would be fun.
Oh, good. I'm glad. I got a lot of good feedback from that. So I might do that because it'll help us all kind of get ready for it together. Because, you know, there's a lot to soak in. There's going to be a lot of Solo stuff being released very, very soon, which I'm so excited about. After this trailer special, I really kind of fall in love with Alden Ehrenreich's performance and just the way he carries himself, and it's coming through in this merchandise and in this novel. And I love that the novel's going to go back and forth kind of in time. Right. It's going to be a ton of fun. Ton of fun.
Yes.
Well, hey, thank you so much, Tom. We'll go ahead and take a break. And when we come back, I will have a conversation with the director and creator of Looking for Leia. This is Coffee with Kenobi.
Star Wars Card Trader by Topps, your go-to source for the latest Solo, a Star Wars Story content, new daily card releases, original artwork, movie relics, and more. Download free now in the App Store, Google Play, or Amazon. One Nation Coffee is the official brew of Coffee with Kenobi. Four lifelong friends had this idea that grew into some of the best coffee you will ever have. It smells amazing and tastes even better. Check out www.onenationcoffee.com to get your morning started off the right way and to learn more about them and how they seek to support traditional American values upheld by the members of the active duty military, veterans, and first responders. In fact, they are actually owned by veterans and members of law enforcement, so be sure to go to www.onenationcoffee.com to order the official brew of Coffee with Kenobi today.
We are back, and we are here with Dr. Annalise Ophelion on Coffee with Kenobi. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Thanks so much for having me.
Oh, my goodness. My pleasure. You are quite the busy lady these days, especially when you were talking about this amazing project, Looking for Leia. But before we get to that, I'd love to sort of pick your brain about Star Wars and what kind of first drew you to this galaxy far, far away.
Oh, yeah, let's talk about Star Wars. Yes. Right? All Star Wars fans love talking about Star Wars. I saw Star Wars in the theater in 1977 when it first came out, and I was 4 years old. And the following summer, it was playing at the sort of like, you know, bargain second run theater that was walking distance from my house in Fort Collins, Colorado. And I went every week for that summer of 1978. And I was Princess Leia for Halloween that year. My mother took her curtains down and cut them up. They were very itchy and made me this like fabulous Princess Leia sort of senatorial gown. And it just started a sort of love affair with the stories that I've had basically for as long as I've had conscious memory.
I completely relate. I saw it for the first time, I think, in 1978 at a drive-in theater in New Orleans, Louisiana. And we had tried for months to try to see it, and it was always sold out. And this is, of course, well before Fandango or anything online, which makes me sound so much older than I think I actually am. Although my kids might say otherwise. And yeah, it's just something that kind of collectively hit us as a culture. And why do you think that is? I mean, there have been a lot of great myths over the years, but Star Wars is something that just seems to be omnipresent in our lives.
Right? I mean, I do think there's like this amazing alchemy that happens between when a story just like hits, right? Which is, of course, very generational. I think about in like the kind of current day, like Frozen, which is, of course, not Star Wars, but there was this moment where suddenly like every girl of a certain age was obsessed with Frozen. And I remember seeing it in the theater and being like, wow, why is everyone obsessed with this? And then realizing I'm clearly not like a 8-year-old girl. This is resonating in some way that is like beyond me and is significant. So there's this thing where that like the intangible, this is striking a chord that I think is just kind of movie magic and was certainly present with Star Wars. But I also think it works really successfully as a broad story that we can project ourselves into, right? Like it's both completely familiar and also completely other. Like it is the galaxy far, far away. I love that it's historical and not futuristic. So we never have to think about what led up to the worlds being the way that they are. It's a really successful fairy tale. And, you know, I think fairy tales are stories we tell over and over again. Like that is the thing that, you know, kind of sets them apart from different kinds of stories. And the characters and the roles and the adventures and journeys become iconic. And then we play them out. And Star Wars just like ticks all of those boxes.
Yeah, beautifully said. And in both Star Wars and Frozen, I mean, when I saw that film for the first time, my wife looked at me like within the first 5 minutes and she said, oh my goodness, this is going to be on Broadway. And of course, that is going to happen.
You're good.
Yeah, right? And it was, I mean, both of those films, and I tell my friends this all the time, look, Frozen, yeah, I understand, you know, Let It Go and blah, blah, blah. That is an amazing, powerful, metaphorical film that both of these films are talking about, Star Wars and Frozen. They have good characters and they have great stories. And then, as Mark Twain said, he liked fiction the best because fiction was obliged to tell the truth. So you can put these little truths in pockets and explain things about the world through a fictional lens. And I think it's easier for people to ingest whether they realize it or not.
Yeah. Well, and then, you know, Star Wars is kind of the ultimate of that in terms of world building, right? Where the original trilogy built a world and it had really good world building, but it also didn't have that much world building. Like what it did was very successful and it was also kind of vague and broad. It's hard to remember this, but like, you know, we didn't know who the Emperor was. He kind of showed up. He was referenced in the middle. They showed up at the end and that was it. There was no like huge backstory or anything, but the world building was really complete. And then a combination of like fans and the storytellers themselves went on to tell the story and like flesh out the corners of the galaxy and the timeline in such amazing and robust ways, and then continue to do so. And that's part of what's amazing about Star Wars to me, is that there's so much landscape to occupy there. And, you know, it gets us into trouble too. I think it's part of why these new stories are so hard for some folks to be able to kind of reconcile, because they've had 40 years of their own headcanon, their own like stories, their own, you know, legends content. And the more you fill those gaps in, I think the harder it is to start telling stories that might not align with the fables you've been telling yourself.
Right. Absolutely. So you are behind this incredibly important project called Looking for Leia. And there's just, I wanted to talk about it on the show for a long time, and then I just thought, I can explain it fine, but you can explain it beautifully, because this is a passion project of yours. And just from what I've seen so far, my goodness, it's really gangbusters. Tell us all about this amazing thing.
Oh, thanks so much. So Looking for Leia is now a 6-episode docuseries about girls and women in Star Wars fandom. And so we're doing a couple of things. We're showcasing participatory fandom, like the fandoms that actually show up in communities with like shared activities. So the droid builders and folks in the charitable costuming organizations, but also like DIY cosplayers and folks who play with lightsabers and use Star Wars in the classroom. But also talking about like the personal resonance of the stories and how how they've impacted identity formation and like our sense of ourselves in the world. But we're also getting to do what I'm kind of lovingly, winkingly referring to as femsplaining Star Wars fandom. We're shifting the lens that we traditionally get to talk about geekdom from, which has historically been like an exclusively guy lens. And we're bringing some voices to the table that have always been there but haven't always been heard. And I think that that gives a really fresh take on things. Like it's a celebratory project in which we are exploring a group of people who love a thing. So it's fun to talk about things we like, right? But we're also doing it in ways that I think are fresh and new and needed in the sort of broader nerd discourse, but then also specifically within Star Wars discourse.
Right. So what first, and you of course explained sort of what it's about, but when did it hit you one day that you thought, I need to make this. There is a real story here that needs to be told, and I've got to make this happen.
You know, I went to Star Wars Celebration in Anaheim in 2015 after a couple of decades of going to cons like WonderCon, and like I'd been to Star Trek conventions, actually quite a few, because there was that time in the 90s, the dark time when there wasn't any more Star Wars. So sure. A lot of us kind of moved over to the next generation and some things like that. And I was pretty used to going to these spaces and being one of very few women. And kind of unconsciously preparing myself for navigating that kind of space. And I went into Star Wars Celebration, my first celebration, with that same mindset, and was really surprised by how many women were there and the kinds of women were there, because also general con culture, cosplay opportunities for women tend to be highly sexualized, which is great. There's nothing wrong with that. But like they're very like, you know, revealing costumes and like visible. The women who are there and the most visible are often folks that I'm like, that's, I don't quite, you know, connect with or relate with that. And then at Star Wars Celebration, there were just like, first of all, so many women in pants, right? Because like Jedi costumes are kind of great like that. But then also just having so many great conversations. So I was amazed by how many women there were. And then I was kind of amazed that I was amazed. Like, why is this so striking to me? Like, how is this so unexpected? And it just got me thinking about, like, I want to know what these women's stories are. I want to know what that fan experience is like. And so from like 2015 until like mid 2016, while I was working on finishing and touring my last feature, I started thinking about how a project like this might formulate. I started basically also doing the research, like, okay, certainly someone has already done this, right? Because at that time, The Force Awakens hadn't come out, and then it did come out, and Rey was the protagonist. And it's like, well, we're all going to be talking about women in Star Wars now, right? And didn't see anything, didn't find anything. And then around the time of the election, made the kind of commitment in 2016, made the commitment that I was going to have this be my next project, and kind of went properly into production, which was like before Carrie Fisher had passed. And the original concept was going to be a kind of road trip where I wanted to just sort of visit everyday fans. And I was hoping to be able to end up with Carrie Fisher and have her talk on camera. I thought I could get enough compelling interview footage that her people would be like, of course you can talk to Miss Fisher. And we'd find some way of visiting her magic house in Southern California. And she'd give me an interview. Which, of course, then didn't happen. And when she passed, I really felt like the project had passed with her. And after grieving, like a lot of folks, I think, did, was able to kind of come back around and broaden the scope of the project a bit, which is how we ended up where we are.
Wow. Well, I'd wondered about that, too. The inspiration for this, of course, you know, how could it not be somehow evoking Carrie Fisher and her powerful shadow over this galaxy, over fandom. And she was just a force of nature in her own right, and she empowered so many people, you know, for generations. And it's to the point now, you know, where my 4-year-old son, when we're playing, you know, he wants to be Darth Vader, he wants to be Kylo Ren, but sometimes he wants to be Rey, or sometimes he wants to be Princess Leia. And to him, it's not about gender, it's about these are cool characters.
Yeah,
and they're
this
neat,
is a hero.
And I see them on TV and they're my heroes.
Yes.
And that's so cool to me.
it's to me, this is also the thing that this is my, I believe the children are the future moment. Mm-hmm. Like I went to my doctor's office of a few weeks ago and, you know, because I'm basically wearing a Star Wars shirt every day of the week. I was wearing a Star Wars shirt and I got in the elevator in the parking lot and this dad and his maybe 4-year-old son were in the elevator and the son started jumping up and down and pointing at my shirt. And the dad was like, Rey's his favorite character. And I looked down and I realized I was wearing a Rey shirt, but the just like excitement on this kid's face. And I was thinking, like, as when I was that age, like when I was growing up, boys did not get to love girl characters. It would be mocked or laughed at.
Yeah.
But also girl characters didn't get to be the hero in the same way that like Rey gets to be the hero. And I do think when we have those, when those possibilities are role modeled to us at that young an age, that's really powerful. And that starts making like that moves the needle of culture, that shifts the way systems work.
Oh, I like that. The needle of culture. You should be a storyteller. That's good stuff.
A little bit. I am right. Like I get to do that in the,
oh my goodness. Yes.
In the visual sense.
No, just talking to you for the short amount of time we have, I feel inspired because you obviously hit the nail on the zeitgeist to what's so important. You talked about, you know, we're growing up. Like I remember, of course I had all the Star Wars action figures. I still do. And in fact, I'm looking in my office now. I've got Princess Leia stuff and Rey stuff everywhere. But I remember buying Princess Leia and also buying Scarlet from the G.I. Joe line and feeling like self-conscious, like I was doing something wrong. But in my heart, I didn't think that I was. This was, to me, this is, they're part of the story. They're really cool characters. And now I feel like, as you said, the needle is shifting, sometimes a little bit slower than we would like. But there is definitely a change in the culture.
That kind of gender policing actually hurts everyone.
Yes. Right? Yes.
And so we all win when we bring the margins closer to the center, I think. And that's what this kind of a story, I think, lets us do. And I love hearing, you know, like fathers of daughters are my new favorite category of human. I get to talk with so many fathers of daughters who approach me and talk about what this project means to them as a parent, that their daughters are going to get to see something like this.
Yes.
And, you know, I think that also holds true for younger boys, like mm-hmm. to be able to just like to either see yourself or be able to see as valid and valuable a bunch of women's voices is some really like curative and powerful stuff. So it feels great to be able to put that into the world. And also I get to do Star Wars for a living for a couple of years, right. I worked myself into like the best job. I look around sometimes and I'm like, I chose well with this project. This is great.
You certainly have, and we are definitely better for it. And so where are we at on the campaign? I see we've got about, at the time of this recording, we've got about 10 days left and we are 91% towards our goal.
Which is so great, right? So I'm running a Seed and Spark campaign right now for our sort of tide over post-production funds. We're doing this project independently and outside of a studio. And of course, the shift to a series happens sort of midway through. So usually a series, you kind of sell and get into development with a studio first. But we've got the great benefit of having most of our footage, which we recorded over the past year. And right now we're asking for folks to help us finish the project up. And so the Seed and Spark campaign is a way of doing that. And we've got a goal right now that we're very close to meeting. Of course, we would love to exceed that goal because every dime of that goes toward paying women on our crew and getting women on camera. Mm-hmm. And we think this is a really good cause. But Seed and Spark is also unique because they incentivize following those programs, following the crowdsourcing campaigns for the filmmakers. So we need to get to 1,000 followers to unlock really like thousands of dollars in post-production resources that we will actually use. Like the vendors I actually use are kind of in these packages, and also to qualify for like thousands of dollars in grant money. And following is something you can do completely for free. So I have a wonderful job right now of getting to go around to places and not necessarily ask for money, but to ask for follows, to go to seedandspark.com/fund/lookingforleia, or of course, visit any of our social media because the link is going to be right up front, and just hit follow and like, you know, confirm the email to prove you're not a Russian bot, because this is a very important step these days. but to follow us, following means also you'll get my kind of like witty, cheeky, delightful updates. And following us on Seed and Spark means throughout the post-production, you're basically on our mailing list to get the updates. And we don't spam our mailing list. We send news and updates that folks are going to want to know where the project is at. So between now and April 20th, which is when the campaign ends, we would certainly love it if, like, all of your listeners took a moment right now to go to Seed and Spark and just hit follow on the campaign. We're more than halfway there. I think we're just shy of 600 at the time that we're recording this. There's like a billion Star Wars fans in the world, so we feel like we can get that 400 more folks to sign up and follow us there, and that support really goes a great, great distance for us.
Well, we will not only be promoting this heavily on social media and our website, but all of our listeners will surely pause right now and go ahead and follow. We'll wait for you. Hey, thanks for doing that. That was great of you. We're going to have a, and if you didn't get a chance to do that so far, we are going to put a link to it on the show notes. And Annalise, what a pleasure it is to speak with you. You are welcome to have a cup of coffee with us anytime. I can't wait to have you back on to talk about the success of the Seed and Spark campaign.
Thank you so much. I can't wait to come back and talk about where we're at with the project and be at the place where you can actually be watching it yourself. So we're super excited to show it to you.
Thank you so very much. We're going to go ahead and take a break, and we will be right back. This is Coffee with Kenobi.
Listening to Coffee with Kenobi, you are the podcast you're looking for. This is...
Before we get to email, I want to thank our CWK sponsors, One Nation Coffee, the official coffee of Coffee with Kenobi, which can be found at onenationcoffee.com. It smells amazing and tastes even better. I'd also like to thank Wink, Harry's Razors, and the Star Wars Digital Card Trader Collecting App from Topps. Please support them the way they support our podcast. And remember to listen to new and archive shows of Coffee with Kenobi wherever you listen to podcasts, including iTunes, Podcast Addict, Stitcher, Spreaker, Overcast, Blog Talk Radio, Player FM, or our website, www.coffeewithkenobi.com, or wherever you enjoy listening to your favorite shows. If you listen to the show through iTunes, please leave us a review. We are also on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, home of our CWK Coffee Chat, Pinterest, and Tumblr, and we'd love for you to check us out there. Be sure to listen to our CWK family of shows, too, including Legends Library, Rebels Reactions, Comics with Kenobi, and Lattes with Leia. Please leave a review for each of their shows as well, and be sure to subscribe to each of them individually, as they all have their own iTunes feeds. Thanks to Riley Blanton, Stephen Stanton, and Dr. Annalise Ophelian for joining me today. Thank you to each and every one of you for listening to and supporting Coffee with Kenobi and for contributing to Star Wars Conversation. We will be back next week with two new co-hosts and more Star Wars discussion. This is the podcast you're looking for.
This podcast is not endorsed by the Walt Disney Company or Lucasfilm Limited. It is intended for entertainment and informational purposes only. The official Star Wars website can be found at www.starwars.com. Star Wars, all names, sounds, and any other Star Wars related items are registered trademarks and or copyrights of Disney and their respective trademark and copyright holders. All original content of this podcast is the intellectual property of Coffee with Kenobi unless otherwise indicated.
This is the podcast you're looking for.
There's no one here. Move along. Move along.